Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real. This week's podcast is titled Bitcoin Crash Presages Equity Plunge. There's a huge shock in store for those who have been lulled to sleep by a stock market that has become accustomed to no volatility and only one upward direction. And that alarm bell can be found in the price action of Bitcoin, which recently tumbled over 40% in less than a week. You know, for 2 years now, I've been saying avoid cryptocurrencies like the plague. Well, it took 2 years, and it tumbled 40% in less than a week, and I believe there's many more 40%, 50% losses in our future until the price action takes it down to less than $100 per unit. For the implosion of the cryptocurrency world foreshadows what will happen with the major averages as the Federal Reserve futilely attempts to stop monetizing the exploding mountain of U.S. debt. I am fond of quoting the figure of total market capitalization as a percentage of GDP. That is both mine and Warren Buffett's favorite statistic, as I mentioned last week. The level has now surged to 143% of GDP. But history shows that stock value should represent just 50% of the economy. In that same vein, another eye-popping figure compares global asset prices to GDP. Global asset prices, stocks and bonds, back in 1980 were only 110% of the economy. 110%. Today, they have soared to an incredible and unsustainable 350% of the economy. Which means due to the massive $3.8 trillion counterfeiting spree from the Fed since 2008, the S&P dividend yield has now plummeted to just 1.8%. But then again, due to the delusion that the Fed can normalize interest rates, there have been 5 rate hikes on the shortest end of the curve since December of 2015. This means the 3-year note, once again, has a yield that is higher than the S&P 500 dividend yield. This also means that if the Fed follows through on its 3 rate hikes penciled in for 2018, the dividend yield on the S&P 500 would be less than a quote-unquote risk-free one-month T-bill, which has not been the case since the panic of 2008. The reemergence of this phenomenon could surely launch a barrage of daggers upon Wall Street's latest and greatest bubble. But the fact remains that the stock market remains at its most vulnerable and expensive point in history. That does not mean you should be in all cash, but it does mean you can be long the market only in a hedge strategy that will mitigate the downside. Of course, it also helps if you have a plan to profit from the massive collapse ahead as well. The most important point I can make about this insanely overvalued stock market is that its linchpin, that is, what's holding the entire ersatz charade together, is the worldwide bubble in the bond market. As long as interest rates behave, the rally can continue. The problem is the entire credit market construct is completely artificial and therefore guarantees it will end very badly and soon. Central banks have started to pull away their manipulation of interest rates, and that means one of two conditions is about to occur. The yield curve will continue on its push and path towards inversion and could do so in just a few more months' time. That will shut off the credit creation machine, which will send asset prices cascading down to earth. Or, alternatively, a huge spike in long-term interest rates could be in store. Either of those two conditions, will bring about a brutal recession and cause stocks to plummet. And one has to really wonder why bonds haven't started to soar, bond yields, that is, haven't started to soar as of yet. In fact, Yields going out 10 years on the curve are up only about 15 basis points since December 2015. That's the date when the Fed began the first of its five, to date, 25 basis point rate hikes. At 2.4%, the U.S. 10-year note is still less than half of nominal U.S. GDP. That means the yield should be at least double from where it is currently trading just to be in line with historical measures. But given the level of U.S. debt and our escalating solvency concerns, yield should be much higher than the historical average. After all, the current narrative is one of synchronized and accelerating global growth, also that inflation is rising closer towards the Fed's 2% target. Not only this, the Fed's balance sheet reduction rises to $50 billion per month by October. The Fed's dot plot predicts three more rate hikes, and the ECB has halved its QE program and is predicted to be finished by October this year. Exploding debt and the reversal of central bank support for bonds should cause rates to spike. Indeed, deficits are already rising due to demographics, but the swamp creatures in D.C. that inhabit both parties only care about deficits when they are not in power. The amount of red ink is projected to reach over $1 trillion per year by fiscal 2019. So the daunting addition goes something like this. The baseline projection is that there will be $10 trillion added to the $21 trillion national debt over the next 10 years, not including Trump's unpaid for tax cuts, which are projected to add another $1.5 trillion over the next decade. Then you add on to the debt Trump's next project, known as the most massive infrastructure program outside of China's recent efforts to pave over the Far East, which will add hundreds of billions to the red ink. And since the next recession most likely isn't more than just a few quarters away, deficits will jump again by another $1 trillion per annum, just like they did during the 4 years from 2009 to 2012. Plus, every 100 basis points higher in average interest costs on the outstanding debt piles on another $200 billion in debt service payments per year. All this will be happening as the Fed is dumping $600 billion per year of mortgage-backed securities and treasuries onto the balance sheet of taxpayers. So, of course, interest rates should be soaring from their record low level, and not just in the U.S., but around the globe. The only reason why they would not do so immediately is that the bond market is aware that an economic crash is going to arrive in the very near future, which may compel a stampede of investors to seek shelter in the cover of the sovereign bond market. Then again, if rates do end up spiking on the nearly $10 trillion worth of negative yielding global sovereign debt, it will cause the record 320% of global debt to GDP to become completely unserviceable. And that will definitely cause the crash to arrive in short and brutal fashion. And once the bubble bursts on that risk-free sovereign debt, it will surely smash the worldwide equity hysteria with unrelenting fury. But intelligent and knowledgeable investors still have time to prepare for the wild ride ahead in 2018, which should finally be the year that the inevitable reality check comes to call. Now, I think I've proven pretty succinctly that bond yields are the linchpin. Rates are either going to invert, and if you do a linear analysis of the regression of that 10-2 spread, you'll see it's going to happen very quickly in the next couple of quarters, unless long-term rates are to rise. And if long-term rates rise too quickly on that $230 trillion of global debt, the whole world's going to implode. $70 trillion more than we had in 2007. So interest rates cannot rise. What I'm saying is they have to rise or the yield curve will invert, but if they rise too quickly, the whole thing falls to pieces. So the only thing that can happen which would keep the bubble afloat is for interest rates on the long end of the yield curve to sort of rise gradually and slowly. That is a very low probability event, given the artificial construct that hasn't been put in place for the past 9 years. So, what do you do? You should have 10% of your portfolio in select gold investments. Really good, great opportunities in the gold market. 20% should be in defense stocks because Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un are still going at it. In fact, the latest iteration of this battle is they're fighting over the size of their nuclear red buttons on their desks. Mine's bigger than yours. Mine works better than yours. So, you know, you could be long FANG stocks, unhedged, and one day you wake up and there's a preemptive strike in North Korea from the United States and its allies on the nuclear facilities in North Korea, and boy, oh boy, you'll be very sorry you were long this market without some kind of protection. Yeah, you might not make 100% of the upside, but you're going to make little to none of the downside if you're hedged properly, and I believe we are. You should have 20% in your international dividends. You should have high cash levels for now, uncomfortably high cash levels for now. I'm telling you, I'm not comfortable having that much cash, but there's a reason for it. I'm looking for an opportunity to get a little more invested. But most importantly, as I clearly conveyed in the commentary, you have to wait for my very powerful and robust model to illustrate when the crash is about to begin. And it will occur. And then when the model tells you to do so, you protect and profit from this unavoidable and yet necessary reconciliation process to begin. Get ready for a very dynamic, wild 2018, which will hopefully be an incredible and profitable one for us all. Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.